is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Dear friends, it's great to be with you again as we continue our tremendous series. It's tremendous not because I'm the preacher, but because of the subject material. And the subject material is no Zion without a king and no king but Jesus. We've been preaching this for some weeks here during our worship services, and we're going to continue till the material is never exhausted, but maybe God tells me I'm through with it. Okay? Very important topic, though. You know, the Bible is so incredible in its telling us that we, as Christians, have been brought nigh to Zion. A lot of people don't even understand that. But let me just give it to you right here from Hebrews. In the Bible now, Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 22, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood." Wow. This is the heritage, friends, of the saints of God. And it doesn't matter what race or what you look like or how much you weigh or whether you went on the lowest carb diet or the South Beach or whatever it's called, if you've got black hair or blonde hair or whatever. The fact is, once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, or I should say, once you repent and He accepts you, it goes both ways. But He will, if you turn to Him and repent of your sins, because He's faithful. At that moment, you are already come unto Mount Zion. Jesus said then that the kingdom of God would live within you. A lot of people have been looking for the kingdom of God to come for a long time. And Christians, you have no excuse if you don't understand the kingdom of God is within you. And you're a living stone, and we're all as living stones fitted together, making up the temple of God. For you, my friend, as a follower of Jesus, are that very temple of God. But ye're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Dear friends, you are a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. Now, a lot of people don't know that. This is the real Mount Zion is in heaven, and it's in your heart. If you've had Jesus Christ come into it and you've been born again, isn't that an amazing thing? A lot of people don't know. How can you possess an entire city within your heart? I've read so many textbooks on quantum physics. Some years ago, I got really interested in the subject, and I began to discover, and some physicists literally believe that there are worlds within worlds within worlds within worlds. They believe the world you see is not all there is, that there are invisible worlds. They have terms like strings, and these worlds exist, you might just say they're strung out, forever and ever. People, of course, access the most powerful telescopes in the world at Mount Palomar in Arizona and Texas and other places in Australia. These gigantic, powerful telescopes allow us to see billions of stars and planets. But the physicists say there are invisible worlds. And then there are the macroscopic, infinitesimally small worlds that exist that are so small you cannot see them with the naked eye or even with electron microscopes. Now, it should not surprise us then that even if our greatest physicists at our greatest universities say there are invisible worlds, and they teach these things today in quantum physics, worlds stringing out, things that you cannot see, not even with the telescopes or the microscopes. Then, does it not become such a, not a big deal? How'd you like that wrapping up of language there? It's not a big deal to understand that the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said it cometh not with observation. And thus, we have come already nigh to, that means we're right there within the very confines, the population sign is right there, I suppose. You know, population, you know, heavenly Jerusalem, population, well, whatever God says it is, the sands of the sea number those who belong to Jesus, including all the creatures of heaven and angels, an innumerable company. You can't even number the angels in heaven. That is the city of the living God. Isn't it amazing then that we try to make earthly Jerusalem populated by some Jews after the flesh? Israel after the flesh? Can you believe that we would try to make this old piece of dirt in Jerusalem today in the Middle East the city of God? In fact, you know, I'm from Texas. I love Texas. I think it's the best place to live in the world. I love the United States of America. It may be a mess, but it's still, I guess, the best country in the world. We just want to make it better, don't we? That's why we fight so hard, because we love this country. It's okay to love your city, your village, your town where you live. It's okay to love your state, your country. But don't ever think that it is God's territory, except for the fact that he owns everything and he created everything for his own pleasure. But you see, God has a special place called Jerusalem, and it abides in heaven, the heavenly city. Don't ever equate Toledo, Ohio, or Des Moines, Iowa, or Boise, Idaho, or San Francisco, California, or Austin, Texas, with God's holy city. And don't equate Jerusalem or Amman, Jordan, or Cairo, Egypt with it either. He's got a better thing than that planned for you. Now, I must tell you, though, that if you just insist that you want to stay here on earth and reside in earthly Jerusalem, that's okay. Why, I think God can accommodate you on that. He'll just turn you over to the devil, and you can just enjoy earthly Jerusalem all you want. I'm going to be up in heavenly Jerusalem. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to be up there in heavenly Jerusalem with the other saints. And you can stay down here below with Jerry Falwell and James Dobson, all the others that are pushing the Jews in earthly Jerusalem. That's up to you. That's what you want. Now, I must warn you, there's a little catch. Sort of like the movie in the book by Joseph Heller, Catch 22. Oh, there's a Catch 22. Matter of fact, I'm just going to call it Catch 66 or Catch 666. Because Peter in the New Testament says that this earth is going to perish. It will melt away. Isaiah prophesied even the mountains and the hills will be laid low. Boy, wow. They say that Jerusalem, like Rome, has seven hills. Most people don't know that when they talk about Mystery of Babylon the Great. They say it has to be Rome because it has seven hills, but Jerusalem has seven hills. Now listen to me. Those hills will probably be laid low too. A lot of people are going to die there. In fact, everybody will die that's left on earth that God doesn't raise up again to be with him. Did you hear what I just said, friends? You will die, but you'll have another existence after this in hell. So if you want the earth, if that's what you want, all the riches of the earth, if you want Jerusalem there in the Middle East to be your capital city, if you wish so hard to disavow heavenly Jerusalem and you want to grab hold of earthly Jerusalem like all the evangelists and Judaizers do in our churches today, I just want to warn you that it's not going to be too long before this earth is totally destroyed. It's going to melt with fervent heat. First comes just a little scorching. A little heat. Things are going to get pretty hot here on earth. People are going to cry out because of the scorching of the sun. But then the whole place is going to melt. And you with it. Your body will be gone. Earthly Jerusalem, people won't even remember it anymore. It'll be gone. Then your soul will live on. You'll be transferred to another habitat called hell. But, if you believe in Jesus and His Word, and you want to live in heavenly Jerusalem forever and ever, well, God, He's built a great city for you, and that's where you'll be. So, it really is your choice. You know, you decide. It's an amazing thing. You know, in the Bible, it's Jesus said, I do not come to judge. A lot of people say, you mean He's not going to be our judge? Well, elsewhere it contradicts itself in the Bible. He is our judge. Jesus said something Himself is a contradiction, it seems like. He said, I have not come to judge the world, but if I do judge, my judgment is true. Wow, what does that mean? He didn't come to judge, He said, but if He does judge, His judgment is true. A lot of people say, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means, friends. You judge yourself. When I was a young man going through officer training school, on the very first day of training, our training instructor, I remember him very well, a very handsome, well-built, he looked like he came out of an Air Force recruiting ad, captain. He said, gentlemen, they all called us gentlemen there in officer training, and most seemed to be gentlemen. There were maybe a few that weren't. He said, ladies and gentlemen, there were a few ladies too. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now from the start, at any time during your 3 months of training here, if you do not wish to stay with us, if you do not wish to become an officer, you may eliminate yourself. It's called self-initiated elimination. SIE was what the Air Force called it, officer training school. And he said, all you have to do is come to see me and say, Captain, I don't want to stay here anymore. I want to go home. I will not upbraid you. I will not chew you out. I will not say one harsh word. I will send you over to the administrative building to meet the personnel people there. And within 1 hour, you will be on your way home. No one is here except volunteers who have been specially selected to become officers in the United States Air Force. Self-initiated elimination. If you cannot hack it here, if you're not good enough to make the grade, we don't really want to kick you out of officer training school. We would prefer if you eliminated yourself. And, you know, during that time there were a couple of people that I recall. I remember one man, he said, I'm going to go SIE. I said, what for? He said, this is just too difficult, and I just don't know if I want to be. I mean, they're putting us through hell here. You know, it's sort of like a little mini boot camp. From morning to night, they harass us. We march. We do this. We clean. We, you know, they're on our backs all the time. The officers come in with their white gloves and inspect, look for every little speck of dust. I've just hit it. I said, hey, it's going to be over eventually. Don't worry about it. He said, no, I'm going to go SIE. He did. He eliminated himself. I think he was an idiot. I think he was foolish. I remember the guy being a pretty sharp guy, but he just couldn't hack that training regimen. Do you know what, my friends? I believe that's what Jesus meant. Jesus doesn't have to judge people. They judge themselves unworthy by their behavior, by their actions, by their failure to accept that Jesus is Lord. By their rejection of Him, by their disobedience, by their rebelliousness, they condemn themselves. Jesus has to judge no man. I believe on Judgment Day, every man will know in his heart whether or not he has made the grade. I believe that untold billions of people have SIE'd. It's self-initiated elimination. They refuse to worship the King of Zion, Jesus. They're looking for an earthly Zion, an earthly master or king or ruler. And they will not be disappointed because they will have one for a short time. They wish to rule their own lives, and in doing so, they will end up being ruled by a dictator. They reject Jesus as God, and they will have then a false god to rule over them named Satan. S-I-E, self-initiated elimination. Jesus said, I come to judge no one. But if I judge, my judgment is true. These people cannot stand up to Jesus and be anything but liars if they say, I am worthy of heaven. For every man will know in his heart. It will be just like those who came to stone the woman caught in adultery in ancient Israel. And Jesus, they said, Master, should we not stone her? According to the law, she's been caught in adultery. Should we not stone and kill her? And Jesus bent over and wrote something in the dust. On the ground. No one knows what he wrote. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus wrote, but I think I know. Oh, I can't say for sure. But I believe that what he wrote was something that every man there with a stone in his hand understood. Somehow, supernaturally, it was the greatest sin they had ever committed. That's what I believe. I believe many of those men were adulterous, fornicators. Certainly they had fornication on their minds and hearts if they had not committed it. Maybe it told of murders they had committed no one knew about. Fraud they had perpetrated against fellows. Evil things, wickedness, sin that they had done in their lifetime. For we are all born and we act as sinners, as human beings without forgiveness by God. And I believe that they were each man convicted in his own heart of the gravest sin of which they had committed. And then Jesus asked them this question, or he made a statement to them. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. But Jesus had written down already every sin they had committed, and the worst sin at least, and they knew it. They could not cast the stone. For no doubt those men were guilty of at least as much sin, or maybe greater sin, than the woman that was caught in adultery. And they turned away. I believe that's what it will be on Judgment Day. Even as men say, Lord, look at all that I did for you, Jesus will show them in their own heart, and he will say, look and see, O man, what you have done. And then every man will know. And then God, to those who are not worthy, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I want you to notice that wording, too. He doesn't say, I once knew you, and you turned away from me. Jesus says, I never knew you. Now, so I want you to understand that Jesus is King. There is a Zion. And all those who refuse him, who say, I will not have this man Jesus rule over me, they themselves are condemned by themselves, and they make themselves unworthy of eternal life in heaven. That's an amazing thing. For Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. But every man is condemned in his own heart if he repents not. And through repentance, then his sins are blotted out. No matter how many times the devil comes back and tries to remind you of your past sin. Always, whatever your mind tells you, that's where the devil works. It can deceive you, my friends. But if God says you're forgiven, who is the devil to tell you otherwise? And even your own heart, if you say, oh, I'm not forgiven, when God has forgiven you, do you not make him a liar? Do not attempt to tempt God by saying, I do not believe my salvation was sufficient. I do not believe you did enough for me, God. Oh, what an accusation we make against God when we say, I think my sin was too great, I cannot enter heaven, when he has forgiven you. Then what you're doing then is making an accusation against God that he is too weak and too pitifully unable to save you. Oh, man, please. Woman, listen to me. Don't do that. Okay, we've talked enough today. Love to hear from you. I'd like to know if you're praying for this ministry. You know, a lot of people are so good to send us love gifts and offerings, tithes, to help us keep going on the air. But I also would love to hear just that you're praying for us. Would you write us a letter and let us know? It'd mean a lot to me. All right, now we're going to continue our message today with the 10th segment, with our message of no Zion without a king, and, of course, no king without King Jesus. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. Pilate said, my hands are clean. I wash my hands of the blood of this innocent man. Behold your king. Shall I crucify your king? Yes, they cried out, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. But Jesus had said, when he was asked by Pilate, art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and this cause came I into the world. Hey, they wanted Caesar instead of him. No problem, said Jesus. Chapter 21 of Matthew. Here's what Jesus said. In fact, verse 42 of chapter 21 of Matthew. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. We won't have you to rule over us. We prefer Caesar. Jesus says, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? You see, he is that stone. He is that rock of salvation. But the builders, they described themselves as the builders of the kingdom, the Jews did. Today, the Masons and Jews still say, we wish to build the kingdom. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes, said Jesus. Therefore say I unto you, again Jesus speaking to the Jews, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. It cannot be clearer than that, can it, friends? They said, we prefer Caesar over Jesus. And Pilate said, would you have me crucify your... would you crucify your king? Yes. Crucify him, they cried out. Pilate delivered him over to them, and they led him away, it says in Scripture. And now Jesus says, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Oh no, we're going to build the kingdom. We're still awaiting our Messiah, the Jews say. And I've heard everybody from John Hagee to Jerry Falwell say, oh, the Jews are just like the Christians. They're awaiting the Messiah. We're waiting for Jesus to come, and so are they. They're not waiting for Jesus to come. They said, give us Caesar. Crucify this Jesus. They're not waiting for Jesus. Are you kidding me? If Jesus came back, they'd want to crucify him again, most of them, except for that remnant that God has selected, the remnant that Paul talked about. Praise God for them, the remnant of the Jews. Listen to this. Jesus in verse 44 says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. Friends, you fall on Jesus and try to destroy him, he won't be destroyed. You will be broken. Don't have any misconception.
but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Friends, don't stand in Jesus or his people's way. Listen to me, you elite of the New World Order. Don't stand in the way of God's people, because that great rock will fall on you and grind you to powder. A lot of people say, oh, we're so weak. We don't have the money. We don't have the big television networks. We don't have the newspapers. Oh, the Illuminati and the elite and these Jews who wish to build their kingdom, they're going to overcome us. I say, baloney. Listen to me. These people are standing in the way of the progress of God's people. They are the ones who have rejected the cornerstone. They have rejected the stone. All the time saying we're the builders, and the very stone that they needed to set forth the foundation. Because without a firm foundation, no building is assured of safety when the storm comes. Now the storm comes, and the builders have a building that's just tottering, just like the Twin Towers collapsed in heaps. That's the way the whole world in its system is. It is ready to collapse because the world is standing in the way of the progress of God's people. Oh, there may not be very many of us. We don't have to have a lot of money. We don't have to have much of anything but Jesus. Without Jesus on our side, nothing is possible. Did you hear me? You better just go ahead and lick the boots of the New World Order thugs.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.